Sorry about that. Just a few brief responses, and with thanks to the member states for the robust dialogue and the questions. I think we are at a moment. I think when we ask questions about what does it look like to authenticate and to verify the videos and the information we have, what does it look like to introduce surveillance and cameras? You know, how do we balance the positive aspects of social media and recordings with the very real impact that white supremacist organizations and really problematic anti-human rights organizations are flourishing? How do we deal with that? And I think one answer is that if nothing else, new technology has shown us that we have delayed confronting this crisis of our values as long as we can. There is a reality that our society has allowed the commodification of whiteness, has allowed there to be value associated with having white skin, has allowed, even in trying to dismantle white supremacy, the continuation of things like the surveillance and the differential surveillance of Black people. And so when we look at policing, we talk about fairness, but many communities, including very progressive communities, turn a blind eye to enhanced surveillance and enhanced violence of communities of African descent. Many communities turn a blind eye to educational systems that don't offer the contributions of people of African descent and instead often offer very troubling framings of the history of these very communities. An example of this, we're 99 years after, in the US, a massacre of a wealthy Black community in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is not taught in virtually any school in the United States, forget about internationally. And yet, this was a defining event for tens of millions of Black Americans whose wealth was, as a community, right, a major piece of wealth and success was lost in an unlicensed massacre. So I would say a few things. We do need to confront our values. If we have human rights values, we need to actually insist on that. And this is that moment. If we understand that the world is changing, and maybe an answer to the point about what it is to introduce a camera, I don't know if anybody else saw this on the news yesterday. There was a small piece about some children who were in an online learning platform. Their teacher had dropped off the platform, and these children who were like 4 years old continued on the platform, and they're like, where's the teacher? And then they started saying, oh, but she's still recording. Even though she's not here, she can see if we're behaving, so we should behave. And we are in a generation of youth who are used to being surveilled, who are very comfortable with it, who barely let it impact their day-to-day and who are aware of it. And so it's not to justify it at all, but we are in a space where these technologies do impact differently than they did before, but at the same time, they're pushing us to really confront how much our values are aligned with our actions. So in that vein, this is a provocative reason that we see, and we did a report on this last year, the provocative reason that we see biases, racial bias built into artificial intelligence tools, and we're able to detect this. This is not because artificial intelligence in and of itself is racially biased. It's because the people who are feeding information, the data that's going into it, the coders who are making values-based decisions are conscious of their own bias into those. The reality is, I think what new technology is doing for us, among other things, is forcing us to confront some core values that we keep pushing to the side. And that includes the commodification of whiteness. That includes our tacit acceptance of the surveillance and control of Black bodies. That includes the ways in which we've avoided confronting our very troubling transnational history with race that starts with the trade and trafficking in enslaved Africans. So I think I've touched on the three major questions, but I think a lot of our attempt to really marshal new technology to marshal this moment in service of human rights also requires us to really confront who we've chosen to be, how our values express themselves, and how we tolerate and license abuses of human rights by failing to confront them, particularly in moments like this.